Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Nice to have you back with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host here on CUTV News Radio. We're going to explore the subject of therapy from a renowned expert on this specific edition of Close Up Talk Radio, and I'm really delighted to do this. It's a subject that you can find very, very fascinating, especially with someone who is really an expert in the field, and our guest is. She's been on the microphones of these broadcasts in the past. I've never had the chance to talk with her. Her name is Dr. Marjorie Rand. She's based out in California in Manhattan Beach, in an office overlooking the Blue Pacific where it's raining today. It's been raining for a couple of days out there. You know, they've had a lot of rain in Southern California, and in spite of the song, it never rains in California, it does. And when it does, it's not good. I mean, they need it for the water table, but people don't know how to drive in Southern California. It can be the pits. I've lived there for many years, and I know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we're going to talk about therapy right now. Dr. Rand, she's highly experienced in somatic psychotherapy. She's experienced in IBP, that's known as integrative body psychotherapy. She knows about telemental health. She works in that field. She's a certified yoga therapist. She's a family and marriage and family therapist. And she also can tell you why it's important for you to know what happened when you were born, the circumstances around your birth. And that can be fascinating unto itself. So we're going to get into that with our guest, Dr. Marjorie Rand. I'm really excited to have Dr. Rand with us. And Dr. Rand, let me just say good afternoon. How are you? How's everything going today? You okay?
Yes, I'm fine, and great to talk to you, Doug.
And you're dry. You're inside and dry, even though it's raining outside.
I'm inside, and at the moment, it's not pouring down rain, but we really need it for the drought.
Yes,
it's not
I
great
know.
To drive, though. California drivers don't know how to drive in the rain.
I just said that. They don't know how to drive in Southern California.
Let me point out,
you have been a psychotherapist, I know, for some 40 years. You're considered a true pioneer in the field of what is known as somatic psychotherapy. And that, I think, is best described as a holistic form of therapy that embraces the powerful connection between body, mind, and spirit. I want to ask you to tell me a little bit about your background and also explain to me somatic psychotherapy. It's a term many people may not know what it means, and I'm among
right.
them. So describe it for me. What are we talking about?
Okay, the word soma is Greek for body, and we used to call it body psychotherapy. We used to call it body work, many other terms, but that's often mistaken for things like massage or healing or other kinds of energy work that people do with each other. But the people like me are licensed psychotherapists, either marriage and family therapists or clinical psychologists or licensed social workers, licensed clinical social workers, or people who have who are licensed by the state to be therapists. So that's different from people who do body therapy, you know, which is more like massage and healing and energy work and other forms of healing. So we don't call ourselves healers. It's a different category. My background, I was a dancer from the time I was 5 years old in ballet, and I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I got as far as you could go in Minneapolis, Minnesota in terms of, you know, being able to perform. There were visiting companies that came to the University of Minnesota and went to all the ballet schools and hired people to come in and, you know, play with the visiting or dance with the visiting companies that came in. But when I graduated high school, I applied to go to UCLA, to the theater arts department, and, you know, I wanted to come to L.A. and be, you know, in theater. And I did get a bachelor's degree in theater arts, but I wasn't able to pursue ballet because they didn't allow it. And so I became, I switched to modern dance. And while I was there, I discovered there was such a thing as dance therapy, which I had never heard of before. And this, I don't even know if I want to give you the year, but this was in the early 60s. And I was able to take these courses in dance therapy from visiting people from New York who were, you know, the early people who were teaching it. And then there were a few people that actually were here in California from L.A. who also were teaching it. And I discovered this whole new field that was called dance therapy.
That is
a field where people use movement. It's now, I mean, usually called movement therapy. So it,
okay.
In fact, can be called dance/movement therapy. And
okay.
I love that because I, you know, sort of moved into that where you work with people using movement as a form of therapy. And we know from developmental, now you're going to get me off on a tangent, but we know from developmental psychology that the brain develops through movement. The entire first year of life is developing the brain from going from completely horizontal. This is caused by the fact that when we became bipedal, we stood up on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
pelvis was shaped in such a way that we're sort of like a kangaroo. We had to be born 9 months premature because of the size of the human cranium. So when the child was born, it was completely on a horizontal plane, couldn't even raise up its head. So
helpless.
Over the first year of life, every movement, and it would be way too long for me to tell you every movement, but moving from raising the head, moving from rolling over, moving from reaching, grasping, pulling, and then moving into a cross-lateral movement and, you know, so forth and so on until you got to sitting. Then you got to be able to pull yourself up to standing and then actually being able to walk in the first year of life develops the brain. And by the second year of life, you actually have a bit of connection to the prefrontal cortex. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that movement develops the brain. The brain is just nothing. It doesn't know anything. It's not smart. It learns by what the body tells it, by the body interacting with the environment. So that's what I learned from becoming a movement therapist. But a movement therapist is not licensed as a licensed psychologist. A movement therapist is allowed to work in psychiatric hospitals with people who are in the hospital for schizophrenia, which meant a lot of throwing around balls and, you know, dancing around and so forth, which is not, excuse me, 1 second.
That's fine. All right.
Sorry.
We had
I
a cough pee for you.
I have a,
okay.
I'm on a little bit of a Hall's cough drop here. Anyway,
okay.
I didn't want to do that. I wanted to work with wellness, which is very important in my story because I'm not a trauma therapist, although we all have trauma and we have to work with trauma, but that's not the goal of therapy. The goal of therapy is to go to the original sense of self, which is an energetic sense of self. But going back to my history, and I can tell you about that wellness issue at some point, I'm sure, in the next however many minutes we have. I didn't want to work in mental hospitals, and I wanted to have a license to do therapy with people. So, you know, it wasn't enough to be a dance movement therapist, which was a certification. So I went back to school. I had the bachelor's degree in theater arts, but that wasn't going to get me anywhere. So I went back and had to get another. I'm so sorry about that.
Happens to all of us.
I had a BA and an MA in counseling psychology, and then I went on that was in 76, and I got a license as a marriage and family therapist in 76. That's why it's 40 years now. And then I got a PhD in clinical psychology in 1980.
Wow. Well, you have so many initials behind your name. It's really interesting.
Well,
but you wanted to be a star, and you became a star in the field of therapy and psychotherapy instead of, on the dance floor.
Well, that's great. I wanted to be in front of the camera, but I figured out really quickly that that's not where the power was. You had to be behind the camera. So then I became a choreographer, and then I realized, you know, you really had to be an editor, you know. And I kept finding out how much further behind the scenes you really had to be. And, I wanted to work with people one-to-one, and I had to get the license. So I went back to school when my kids were in what we used to call junior high. It's now called middle school. I raised two kids. And I, you know, went back to school. Then by that time, I was like 30-something. And I got those degrees, and I did all my training. And those degrees. And yes, and then, you know, I had studied not only the dance movement therapy, but because it was already oriented toward the body, I had studied something called Neo-Reichian therapy, which is body-oriented therapy based on Reichian therapy, and Dr. Reich was studied with Freud in the original group in Vienna, broke off with him, and he also, I don't know if you're familiar with Gestalt therapy or not, but Frederick Perls was a student of Reich, and they all had to leave Germany, of course, in the 30s, and so I studied Reich, and not with Reich, of course, because, you know, I wasn't alive during his time, but I also
Let me interrupt you and say we're all familiar with Gestalt therapy. That's that we want to know. There's some specific questions I want to talk to you about before we end this interview, because we could go on hearing about your background for a long time, but I want to get some specific questions in. First off, I know you have said at the time when you were studying early on, it was, as you put it, it was a remarkable time in the vanguard of psychotherapy. It was the age of the hippies. Is that right? Back in the 70s, in that age?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I studied.
And you didn't know you were in a historical moment at that point.
No, I didn't. I studied a lot at Esalen Institute in Big Sur,
right.
And I would go into the main lodge to have a meal, and I could sit down at a table with Eric Erickson, who wrote, you know, all the books on development, who I studied in graduate school, and
that's
he
remarkable.
Would be there, and Abraham Maslow, and all the people, you know, of the time were there. The people in charge of the, you know, humanistic psychology were all there teaching, and transpersonal psychology were all there teaching. And
well, they were pioneers,
amazing.
No question. They were,
yes,
but
yes.
you yourself were considered
a
pioneer.
I was second generation. I mean, they were my age then, and I was, you know, 32.
Sure.
You know.
All right.
So I was second generation, but I was studying with these people. I was studying with Virginia Satir and all the people with the Palo Alto group.
Wow.
I mean, you know, these people who were theorists, you know, I mean, and got to go to conferences and hear incredible people speak. you know, people who, you know, were people that were not just from the, like the people who were theorists in the 50s and people who were major theorists in object relations theories and all the things that are cornerstones of my work today. I got to study with the leaders, so that was fantastic.
That was so fantastic. I agree. I want to point out you are probably best known as the co-author of that of a seminal book called Body, Self, and Soul, Sustaining Integration, which you published back in 1985 with Dr. Rosenberg.
Yes,
and that
explores
what I talked about at the beginning, IBP, Integrated Body Psychotherapy. Explain to me what that is and why that's so important in your field.
Okay. Well, in 72, Fritz Perls passed away, and 72 was when I got involved with the Gestalt Institute in L.A. But Dr. Rosenberg studied with Fritz Perls at Esalen Institute because he was practicing in Northern California. And so, you know, he actually studied with Perls. He also studied not with Reich himself, of course, because he was gone in 57, died in prison and had all his books burned, but he studied with a student of Reich himself, and he had studied Reichian therapy, and I had studied neo-Reichian therapy here in Southern California with Chuck Kelly of, can't think of the name of it, but doesn't matter anyway. So I had not only done the movement therapy, but I had also done the Gestalt therapy here in L.A. and the Neo-Reichian therapy. And Dr. Rosenberg had studied with Perls himself and also studied the Reichian therapy. And he moved from Northern California to Southern California and was teaching. He opened his first training institute at the Center for the Healing Arts, which was Harold Stone's place, and he was also a very well-known person, and there were a lot of wonderful teachers there, and I was also working there as well, and I got into his first training group in 1976 again. So that was the beginning of everything.
Tell me what IBP is. What is IBP?
Okay, Integrative Body Psychotherapy is something that happened when Dr. Rosenberg, who had written a previous book in 1972 called Total Orgasm, which was a book about healthy sex and how you could total orgasm meant it wasn't a genital orgasm. It was an orgasm that you would experience in your total body if you charged your body up through breath work and the moving of energy and so forth and so on. And so I studied with him for a period of probably over 6 years and learned what he was teaching, but it didn't have a name and it wasn't a system. And he said to me, you know, I'd like to write another book. Would you help me write the book? Because I've been sitting there for all these years writing down everything he had said. And together we put together what is now the model for the theoretical model for integrative body psychotherapy, which is what we finally ended up calling it.
And that body, is self, and soul, isn't it?
Body, not self, it? And soul, but the subtitle Sustaining Integration is very important. And that was listed as one of the best books of 1980, actually, and it's still today studied in graduate schools.
Remarkable.
There haven't been a lot of books written on the subject.
You know, Doc, it's so nice to be able to talk to you. I could talk to you for an hour or two, but a couple of headlines here I want to get from you. You are still functioning. You work in these various different modalities. You see clients. You work at telemental health. That is, people, you work with people to help them over the telephone if they can't come meet with you in your offices in Southern California. Is that right?
I will do that. I do not necessarily you know, do, that's not my main way of working, but I certainly have done that. I have done that by through email. I've done that with clients who have had issues with their kids and parenting. I've done that through email, and, you know, surprisingly to me, it's worked. I've done that with people who have panic attacks while driving. I've told them what to do. It's worked. So it can be done. I prefer face-to-face, but, you know, I've certainly been able to do it through email and talking to people on the phone. You know, if someone is having anxiety, I can still teach them what to do. But, yes, it is called telemental health. Clients have, like, say, moved away, and I've been able to continue to work with them over the phone when they move from here to New York, let's say.
You know, I mentioned at the outset so many different areas that you work within this field. I mean, a yoga certified yoga therapist, you're a marriage and family therapist. In this day, I mean, today, in this time in your career, what do most of your clients come to you for? In what category do they come to see you? You work in so many different areas.
All right. I had one website, and many years ago I said, you know, this is ridiculous. It's everything but the kitchen sink. I'm going to have to split it into two and have two websites, which I do have, and I can tell you what they are. Probably should before we finish the end.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Do it. Do it right now.
Okay, well, the first one is that we're mainly talking about today is www.drrand with the two R's, drrandbodymindtherapy.com, all one long word. And the other one is www.marriagecounselingsouthbay.com. So the other thing that I do is I work with couples of any kind. So it's called marriage counseling, but it's you don't have to be married. You don't have to be a man and a woman. And I also work with groups. I've had as many as 10 family members in my office at the same time. And also family members who are in a family business. Believe me, they need a lot of help. I've had reunification work with family members where one member has got custody and the other member hasn't, and the court will require reunification, which is the parent that doesn't get custody that's been accused of abuse, let's say, for instance, I'm just making that up, has got to go to therapy, and all kinds of different kinds of family work and couple work. I would say 99% of the people I work with do stay together, because when they come in and I ask them, are you here to work on your relationship and make it better? If they say one of them has already rented an apartment, I say, well, I'm also a certified divorce mediator. So, you know, I can help you stay together.
And a rental agent as well, right? You're in real estate, too.
No. I only work with custody issues. I'm only interested in advocating for children. I don't work on any of the financial stuff at all. I work under another mediator, but I have, you know, worked with, I am a parent of two biological children and four stepchildren. So I know a lot about blended families and step families. So I do a lot of work with people who are on the second marriage and have, you know, mine, his, and ours. And
wow.
I can help them a lot. So I do work a lot with that kind of configuration.
That's so good to
well.
Know. I want to bring up something I mentioned to you. I mentioned at the outset of the program that I think needs a little clarification, and I find it kind of fascinating. Why it's important, if it's possible, for you to get this information of what the circumstances were and what happened around the time when you, an individual, were born. Why is it that later on in life that could come back to be very important for you to know?
Okay, that's called pre- and perinatal psychology. And I actually stumbled upon that in the late 80s. I met a person that I knew who was a nurse who did worked with the pregnant women. And she told me that she had seen a video of a therapist who worked with newborns on birth trauma. And she said that when she saw him working, it looked like the work that I do with adults, only he was doing it with newborn babies. So I got to see that video, and as it turns out, within that very same week or two it was, he was doing a training workshop in Southern California. He's in Northern California. So I was able to call up the person who was doing it and, you know, hosting it, and I got into the workshop. And that was like one of the very first workshops that, or trainings that he was doing here. And I started training with him, and that was in the late 80s. And I actually worked with him for 9 years. And then he and I started working together, and we started training other therapists and teaching, and I started working with people, and I went to Europe and started training other therapists in this work in Europe. And what I can say about the work is, I learned that the 9 months of being in utero is not a blank slate at all, that the fetus has consciousness, not of a, you know, of a the same nature that we have, because I explained before there's no prefrontal cortex that's developed yet. Excuse me again.
That's okay. Go ahead, cough it out.
That that they experience everything that the mother experiences through the umbilicus. Now, a woman named Candace Pert wrote a fantastic book in the 90s called Molecules of Emotion. And I actually was able to present on a panel with her in the mid-90s. I was really honored to be able to present with her because I so appreciate her work. And what she discovered was it isn't what the mother eats or drinks or the substances that she ingests that goes into the fetus during gestation, but it's also all of her thoughts and feelings because they're brain chemistry. And she was able to prove that. And she called that, excuse me, endorphins.
The bottom line, we're almost out of time. The bottom line is that a lot of things that happened at that point in someone's life, an infant's life, really have an impact later on in life. Is that really right?
Absolutely.
Am I right?
But it's absolutely totally unconscious. But if you
listen,
go
there's
back
so
to
much
history,
to this. There's so much to this. I wish we had more time, Dr. Red. We're running out of time here.
Oh my goodness.
I just wanted to touch on a few of these things. Your story is so compelling, and your information is so fascinating. I think it's really important to point out, number one, you got a great website. If anybody's interested in any of this area, go to the website. It's Dr. Rand, Dr. Rand, bodymindtherapy.com. Dr. Rand, so it's two R's together, Dr. Rand, bodymindtherapy.com. And there's a lot you can learn. And Dr. Rand she's functioning. She has patients, she has clients, she functions in Southern California. And, you could avail yourself of her knowledge just by going to that website and looking at what she does and how to get in touch with her. And that's where you find out. By the way,
buy
Dr.
The
Rand
book
will
on
be
Amazon.com.
Your book, the one we were talking about, right. And not only that, but you're going to be back with us here on these microphones. You'll be with Jim Masters next week, same time, same station, as they put it, at 6
Absolutely.
O'clock next week, a week from tonight. Dr. Rand,
yes.
Thank you. It's been delightful chatting with you. I appreciate it, and we thank you so much. And that's it for this edition of Close Up Talk Radio, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us. She really is a remarkable woman. She has great stories, and you'll hear more of them next time, okay? So be here.
Till then, have a great day. Bye for now. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye.